Today, the church gives us for our reflection this gospel passage from the seventh chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the raising of the son of the widow in Nain. Now, Nain is a very small city. It's about 6 miles south of Nazareth, just where Jesus would have grown up, so not too far from his hometown of Nazareth. And this is the only place in Scripture where the city of Nain is even mentioned. It's not even really a city. It's more of a village. It's a very, very small village, and even today it's still very small, bigger than it would have been back then, but still very small. And if you go there to the city of Nain, there's a Catholic church that marks the spot where this miracle took place, of the raising of this dead young man. And there, directly across from it, I mean, but almost as close as the church here to the school, there's a Muslim mosque, all right? And Nain today is 99% Muslim, probably. And so this mosque is built right beside the church intentionally, that the Muslims also revere Jesus, but as a prophet, not as the Son of God. And so in various sites, wherever there's a Catholic church, the Muslims will try to build a mosque right beside it, and then they build a tall tower beside it with the speakers, huge speakers, and they point them at the church so that when they do their call to prayer, it's directly aimed at the Catholic church. So, and that's one of their means of evangelization, to, you know, to sing their call to prayer. And, you know, but for the Western ear, it's anything but a means of evangelization. It's not, it's just something that, I don't know, it's very shocking. But here they are in the city of Nain today, where this miracle took place. And the Catholic, the Christian population is very, very small. And while there's not any, you know, open physical violence, there is still very much today an oppression of Christians in the Holy Land. They're very much still persecuted. Very much, you know, Muslims won't do business with them if they can help it, or they're very segregated. But the Christians there still find a way to practice their faith, still find their commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we are with this gospel passage. And in the gospel itself, there's kind of two main groups that we see. Now, there's Jesus. It says Jesus is journeying to a city called Nain with his disciples and a large crowd that accompanied him. So right there, the gospel is making a distinction between the disciples, and it does this over and over again. Jesus' disciples and then the large crowd that followed him. The people who are filled with curiosity about this miracle worker, the man who multiplies bread and fish, the man who raises the dead and cures the sick. There's some high entertainment value there, right? What is he going to do next? You never know. So there's this crowd that follows Jesus in curiosity. But then there's the disciples. And when they come upon this group, the funeral processions of this young man, when Jesus works his miracle in the crowd, there are two different responses that the crowd says. One says, a great prophet has arisen in our midst. They recognize Jesus as a prophet. But then there's another response. God has visited his people. So there's a distinction between the great prophet, Jesus Christ, and God himself who's visited his people. There's a difference between the disciples and the group that is following Jesus. And that's kind of the point I'd like to draw out today. The difference between being a disciple and being a follower. Now, we kind of do the same thing in sports. You know, the last 4 years of my theology, I spent in St. Louis at Kenrick Seminary. And there I am in St. Louis, which is ground zero for Cardinal Nation, right? And everybody in St. Louis is a Cardinals fan. Everybody is a Cardinals fan. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, what their age or whatever. If you're in St. Louis, you're a Cardinals fan, basically, right? But you start to talk to some of these folks, and you ask them, you know, so you go to Cardinals games? No, not really. I went, you know, back in 1970. Okay, well, do you watch the Cardinals games? No, I'm pretty busy, so I don't watch a lot of baseball. Well, do you have Cardinals gear? I mean, do you wear your Cardinals baseball cap or the jersey around? Or, no, not really. Okay, well, in what sense are you a Cardinals fan then? And the response will come, I'm from St. Louis. I'm a Cardinals fan. That's just how it works, you know? If you're from St. Louis, you're a Cardinals fan. And so, but there's not a lot of buy-in there, right? That's a follower, right? That's someone who's following through a sense of community, a sense of this is just what we do. But there's a difference between that and truly being committed, right? There's a difference between what we can do as Catholics or how we act as Catholics. Being a follower who's here because, well, that's just what mom and dad did and that's what I do and it's just something to do on Sunday morning. There's good community here. That's a follower of Jesus. And it's not bad, but it's also not good enough. We're called to be disciples, to be the one who's committed, to be the one who is there because they know Jesus Christ. And this weekend, this is the weekend we're rolling out our parish priority plan. Our plan, our blueprint, our map for the next 3 to 5 years for our parish. And if you want to boil it all down, get to the very kernel, the nutshell, the skeleton of what we're trying to do as a parish, it's precisely that. To take the people of our parish family, from being followers to entering more deeply into relationship with Jesus and making disciples. To make people who are committed to our Lord and not just following him out of curiosity or out of a loose connection or a loose tie. To say I'm a Cardinals fan because, you know, I'm from St. Louis. But to say I'm a Cardinals fan because I love the Cardinals. I love Jesus Christ. And you know, this has happened again and again throughout the New Testament. I mean, think about the followers of Jesus in John chapter 6, the bread of life discourse. When Jesus says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. And the people said, whoa, this saying is hard. Who can accept it? And a large group left. And so Jesus turns to Peter and he says, are you and the apostles, are you too going to leave me? Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There's a difference between following Jesus out of curiosity and being that disciple. Or just like St. Paul, after Jesus' death, when St. Paul was going out and doing his preaching, he went to the Greek temple. And there's, you know, little shrines to gods all the way around the edge of the building, various gods. One of them was this shrine to an unknown god. Just some random god that the Greeks didn't know about, but they were sure existed. And St. Paul says, let me tell you about this unknown god. His name is Jesus Christ. Not only is he an unknown god, he is the God. And some of the Greeks were like, well, that sounds interesting. I'd like to hear more about that maybe. And most of them roundly mocked him. Who is this guy talking about resurrection from the dead? He's crazy. And so Paul walked away. He said that they're not willing to be followers or disciples. They might have a sense of curiosity, but they don't have that sort of commitment at their core. What we want to do with this parish priority plan, what our goal should be in the Christian life, is exactly that, to come to a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. To go from being on the edge, on the peripheral side of the church, to becoming a true, full, active member. And so when we look at the goals of our plan, to cultivate our spiritual life, that's exactly what we plan on doing. So we're, as a parish, we're looking to offer ways of classes on the spiritual life, on discernment, on apologetics, on the various elements of the spiritual life, on knowledge of the faith, the continuing the good things we have, like our book club and Christ Life and those sorts of things. But to continue to offer more opportunities, more venues. But you know, it's like the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. In order for this plan to be a success, it has to be rooted in each individual member of the parish. There has to be a buy-in from us that we want to grow in our faith, that we want a transformation. And so one of those goals, like I said, is cultivating our spiritual life. Another is living the new evangelization, to be able to give our parishioners the tools to be able to share their faith, to become disciples, to become apostles, the ones who are sent out, and not just simply to, you know, go to a restaurant and hide when you make the sign of the cross because you're embarrassed. And then finally, to enhance our Sunday Mass experience, to make this the highest form of our prayer of our parish united together before this altar and the highest prayer that we can offer back to God. to make that the most grand experience that we can possibly do, that we can possibly offer to God. And so these three ways, these are the three things that we'll be focusing on over the next 3 to 5 years, like I said, our map, our roadmap. I pray that through this plan, through the guidance, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, each of us can become disciples and won't be satisfied with merely being followers. And I think about those Christians in Nain today, the very few who are there, and the Christians throughout the whole Holy Land. Imagine the sacrifice they make just to come to Mass, to be ridiculed, to live their faith under persecution, and yet they do it. How many of us would be here today if there's a mosque right there beside us blaring its speakers in our windows? It takes a disciple to be able to have that kind of commitment. So ask yourself, honestly, truly, am I a follower or am I a disciple? And if I'm a follower, how can I grow in that relationship, that desire, increase my desire for God, increase my relationship with Him? That's where we wish to go. That's where the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us. May it be so. May each of us become disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ.